message today, we're going to be drawing out of the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 18, if you would turn there, and we'll read together verses 1 through 8. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke images and cut down the groves and broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense unto it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen unto the fenced city. Well, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word this morning. For Lord, it has been penned by men, but Lord, inspired by you. The Lord, every bit of it is for our good and our edification. And so, Lord, as we look back on this historical book, we don't simply look at it as a book of ancient history, but rather, Lord, we look at it as a book that is alive and that speaks to our hearts today. And Lord, we desire that today. And so that that might be accomplished, I would that you would hide your servant behind the cross, that you, Lord, would speak through these lips of clay words of truth, that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to absorb, that, Lord, we may be edified, strengthened, corrected if necessary, Lord, for your glory and for your name's sake. May this, Lord, be a time of great growth for your people. We praise you, we thank you for this day and an opportunity to come together to hear from you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, thank you. Thank you for coming and making it a part of your week to be in the house of the Lord, and in particular the Ebenezer Church, to wait upon the Lord for a message and to hear from him. Our message last week, if you were here and you're here again this week, again, thank you for being consistent now and coming back 2 weeks in a row. I love that. Our message last week dealt with the idea of waiting upon the Lord. Approximately 60 verses in your Bible either instruct us to do so or tell us of those who did. One of our references last week, we drew out a Psalm 130 in verse 5, which reads, "I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word I have hope." And we talked about this, that all of these verses that reference this idea of waiting on the Lord are all born out of deep affliction. At times in a psalmist or one of the other characters in the Bible, a time when they were struggling, a time when they recognized their weakness and their need of the Lord. It maybe brings about within us then a sense of understanding why James would write, "Consider it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." For this is God working in us, isn't it? It's a testing, a trial of our faith. And so all of these instructions to wait on the Lord come through affliction. And our hope, which the psalmist writes in 130 verse 5, is our hope is in the faithfulness of the Lord. And so if you look at it in reverse, it is his faithfulness that generates within our hearts a sense of hope. And that hope then moves us to the action of waiting on the Lord. I am all too well aware that sometimes we use the word as a platitude. I wanted to say platypus, but that wasn't right. However, a platitude can be about as useful as a platypus. When we simply say to someone who's struggling deeply, you know, in a great affliction or facing a mountain of a challenge, and we walk up with all good intentions. We say, well, just wait on the Lord, you know, like that's going to just, they're just going to do that. And how sometimes we walk through life and we are not waiting on the Lord. We are not dependent upon His strength. We have not been walking in trust with Him, but rather trying to do things on our own. And all of a sudden we find ourselves with a giant before us. We find ourselves with a mountain before us. And some well-meaning Christian then comes up and says, well, just turn it 180 degrees and wait on the Lord. Tough to do. You know, as the man said, it's not the turn in the road that's dangerous. It's failing to navigate it. And I realized as I gave that message last week, the importance of waiting upon the Lord and fully intending and looking further into it as to what that does mean and what it doesn't mean, the reality came in my mind that we need to talk about being prepared and in a position to wait upon the Lord. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, is a great character in the Old Testament for study. You'll remember that there were 42 kings, both in the United Kingdom and the split kingdom of Israel and Judah. Of those 42, only 8 of those are registered in the Bible as being those who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. 8 out of 42. You know, I heard somebody say one time, we were discussing Romans chapter 13, where we are to honor and obey those in positions of authority because God has put them there. And somebody, it was in a Bible study, and somebody, I could probably name that somebody, but I won't. And they said something to the effect, well, that's if they're a godly king. No, there have been very few godly kings. And we are to obey, right? And we are to honor those people put in those positions because God's working in those positions to bring about His will for our lives. Well, Hezekiah is one of only 8 that get the title in Scripture that he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord even after his father David. Your Old Testament carries a lot about Hezekiah. In this chapter here of 2 Kings, 2 Kings will carry a total of 3 chapters dedicated to this man's service as king and the situation that Judah found themselves in. If we were to go to the sister books of 2 Corinthians, we would find chapters 29 through 33, a total of 5 chapters dedicated to this man's position as king and how God was working through him in the nation of Judah. The major prophet Isaiah, chapters 36 through 39, 4 chapters dedicated to this time period when he reigned from 715 BC until 687 BC. Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah, would open his letter, chapter 1 and verse 1, with a reference to Hezekiah. Jeremiah, approximately 100 years later, would reminisce and look back on, in chapter 26, verses 18 and 19, Hezekiah and his reign over Judah. And Matthew 1 and verse 10, in the royal lineage which would lead to Jesus, Hezekiah is one of the characters listed there. I think he's a guy that we should look at. And when we look at these characters, I think it is important that we remember that they are not God. They are all faulty, every one of them. If you think of all the characters in the Bible, you'll find very few where Scripture doesn't say something about a fall at one time or another. I'm thinking maybe Joseph would be one. Daniel, I believe, there's never anything negative spoken of Daniel's walk with the Lord. They're not infallible. They're much, very much fallible. But we take what God has recorded for us and we work with that to teach us something in our life with the Lord. He's worth looking at. Verses 5 and 6. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Why? Because he clave unto the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. He's going to come to a point in his life where he's going to have a huge mountain before him, and he is going to wait on the Lord. But that's coming. Right now, I want to look at the character to see how God was preparing him for that moment. Because I believe God is preparing us as well. If we have ears to hear, if we are willing to listen to instruction, and if we are willing to do that which God has called us to do. Well, we know that Hezekiah took the throne at 25 years of age. We know that he reigned for 29 years. We know that his father is Jotham, and Jotham did that which was not right in the sight of the Lord. What he inherited was a nation that was spiraling out of control, just like the northern kingdom of Israel had. It was a nation full of idolatry. It was a nation that had turned its back upon the one true living God, and it was being propagated by his father. Now, several weeks ago, we talked about the importance of holding to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or deed. But we narrowed that down, that those traditions must be godly and they must be biblical. Some of you today were raised in homes with ungodly fathers. I am well aware of that. My parents were first-generation Christians in their families. And that is exactly what Hezekiah is. His father did not instruct him in the ways of God. His father very much was against the ways of God. Now, how he came to be the man he is, I don't know. Maybe it's partly through his mother, Abi. Scripture doesn't tell us. We certainly know that's true of young Timothy. Through his mother, through his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, he had learned the scriptures. We know, and if you've got a parent that has directed you in the ways of God, you owe them a great debt of gratitude. But if you have a parent who has not led you in that way, God can take and turn your life around like that if you'll let him. And that's exactly who Hezekiah is. In the very first day of his reign, he began to purify the house of God. In the very first day, he began to cleanse the house of God. How important is that? If you were to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Chronicles gives us a much lengthier understanding of it. But let's just read a portion of it if we could today. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, "Hear me, you Levites, sanctify you now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of this place. For your fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense." It's a cleansing of the house of God. It's a purification of worship in the house of God. He brought reform to the worship of God. He removed anything that was an obstacle to following wholeheartedly the Lord. He removed anything that was of the creation and not the Creator. You know, we're interesting people. We get distracted with things. We get distracted and we get short-sighted, and our eyes get affixed on things created rather than the Creator. This is why Romans 1:20 says it's a great fault of man that they turned the image of God, the incorruptible, into a corruptible thing, and they began to worship corruptible things, things that are created and not the Creator. And what we find in this passage in 2 Kings is that Hezekiah now takes even the brazen serpent, which we find in the book of Numbers, where the people were being bitten by poisonous serpents. And God instructed Moses, create a brass serpent and put him upon a stick and put him in the middle of the camp. And whosoever shall look upon that shall be healed. It's a type and a foreshadow. It's a pointing us to Christ. Because in John chapter 3, Jesus says the very thing. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent upon the stick, so anybody who looks upon me on the cross shall be saved. But you see, what had happened was they took this thing that was supposed to point them to a living God, and they began to worship the thing rather than the one who is the Creator. You know, I've often wondered how often we do that. How we get our eyes off of Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. How often we are more enamored with things created than we are with the one who creates. How many people have been led astray in the house of God because they began to follow a man rather than following hard after Christ? How many people have been waylaid by the founder of a denomination rather than following hard after Christ? How many people fall in love with a building rather than the God who builds the building? How many people fall in love with things that are good things created by God and lose track of the God who created them? How many people in our day and age have fallen in love with worship and are not worshiping the God of worship? Isn't it possible? It most certainly is possible, and it's happening every day. And Hezekiah, doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, simplified the whole thing and said, let's get back to what God said we should be doing, not what our minds want to do. This is so relevant today, it makes me shake when I think about when we gather in a place like this. I don't know why you come. You know. I don't know your heart. You do. I don't know what you're thinking now, but you do. And if you have not come to focus on Christ risen, because Paul preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, nothing else. And when Christ is no longer the center of worship, it is not worship, it's blasphemy to God. I've listened to people. I hear it all the time. Oh, I don't go to church because I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't do this, I don't do that. What are you talking about? It's never been about you. It has always been about Him. And I come to a congregation like this, and I see you. I don't know what's going through your mind, but I see men in our congregation who refuse to give God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. Can I say it any plainer? We are to praise Him. Amen is right. And we need a cleaning out of the house of God. And it's the first thing Hezekiah does. It's the first thing he does. And he was a man who pleased the Lord. If you read on in 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry for getting excited, but in 2 Chronicles in verse 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and harps according to the commandments of David and of God, the king's seer, and Nathan and the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood by the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the offerings began, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets and with instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king And the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and they worshiped. I'm telling you, I want to be in that worship service. Don't you? I want to challenge the throne of God when the song of the redeemed is sung. I want something of that now. I want worship now in the house of God. And that's what Hezekiah wanted as well. Is it possible that we have begun to fall away from Christ? Is it possible that we are a people who worship the creation rather than the Creator? Hezekiah didn't have a good example as his father. And I don't know how God got a hold of his heart, but I know that he did. It's a staggering question, really, but one that must be answered. if you taste and find that the Lord is good, right? I was in preparation this morning early, and I asked myself this question. And I'm talking to dads primarily here this morning. It's for all of us. But it seems to me the fact that Hezekiah's dad was not a godly man didn't keep God from doing what he was going to do. But how we have an effect on our children, Dad, how you either hinder or help them in their walk with the Lord, Dad, is an important question to ask. How we live out our lives is an important part of our children's future. It's an important part of the future of the church. It's an important part of the future of a nation. Dad, if your children were asked, what's the most important thing in your dad's life? What would their answer be? And if it is not Christ, then you are failing as a father. I ask myself that question. How have I responded to the grace and the goodness of God to live out my life in worship and in praise to Him? And do my children know it? He's one of 8 out of 42 that God put in position to lead. And you, dads, God has put in position to lead. Could it be said of us in the church of God that as the men of God, we lead like Hezekiah? Have we cleansed our temple, the body of which the Holy Spirit resides, and are we living worship to Him? That's a really good place to start. Because I'm telling you, with every one of us, there's coming a day when you will have to wait upon the Lord. There are mountains before us. There are giants before us. If nothing else, it's going to be the grave. When we keep our eyes affixed upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we keep our eyes affixed upon the one who created all things and all things consist by Him, when we keep our eyes affixed on the Creator, anything in the creation becomes minuscule because we will be waiting on the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, You have been so good to us. I think back, Lord, to the days of my heritage, those who went before. I think of my father, I think of my mother, I think of my brothers and my sisters. And Lord, for the example that You have given me, and Lord, I recognize how much I have failed. And Lord, I pray over my children that you would guard their hearts and remove from their memories any failing of my part. But that, Lord, they would see now, and that they would see until the day I die, that I am a person who seeks after the Lord, to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, even as my predecessors have. And Lord, I pray that over the husbands and the fathers and the men of the church, that, Lord, you would instill within each one of us a necessity to be the priests in our home, just as it is described to us in the book of Job. That, Lord, we would be the leaders. We would be those looked upon as examples and samples, those of whom Christ has left a mark, so that, Lord, we would leave a heritage and we would leave the church stronger following hard after Christ than today we found her. And the Lord, you would be glorified in our lives. And so we thank you for Hezekiah. We know that he is not perfect, Lord, through your word, but we know that his heart was with you and his desire was to do that which is right. As we continue to look at this man, we recognize, Lord, it is not him that we are looking at, but you were working through him. And so we give you praise and glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen.